Blog Talk Radio.
Philosophy, it's not too late. It's not too late.
Well, I'm going to let you run with it in a second. I just want to acknowledge because I can see you are ready to run.
Yeah, I am. So
ready. I told you. I said it. You are ready. I know you come here ready, but I want to. You are ready. I want to acknowledge a few people. Those in the chat, good morning, good morning, and welcome. Each and every one of you guests, welcome, welcome, welcome. We see that there are people also on the phone lines. Welcome. Welcome, you tuned in. If it's your first time, welcome to the Coach Lisa Show. Every Tuesday, we have as our co-host, Professor Terry, author, writer, publisher, Terry Benjamin, and he is the author of Sexy at 60, helping us get our lives on track and living our best life. But let me just see. I see there is a hand raised. Somebody wanted to speak. And this may be one of your friends, Mr. Benjamin, so I just don't want to go too far without acknowledging them, but we will see. Area code 757. Wow. Tell us your name and where you're calling from and give us your comment or question.
Hey, I just want to know how you got off my ship. Because we have not...
Okay. Now, he said got off his ship. I don't know any ship that you've been on, Terry, and neither have. So sometimes we do get crank callers, and so I don't know what ship you're about, but it sounded like it was about to be a crazy one. So we don't even entertain.
Well, I don't know what that was, but let's hope that he meant that, you know, maybe we're doing some work together and we didn't finish.
The beautiful thing about Coach Lisa, I've been on Blog Talk Radio for 4 years now, going on 4 years in April, and I know there's some things that just aren't right, and so we've had it before. I've been blessed not to have too much of it over the past few years, but hey, so, well, there you have it. So, Terry, yes, we want to welcome each and every one of you to the show, and Terry's going to tell us, talk about his topic today, tell us what your topic is today. We are sitting here waiting. You always drop so many nuggets of wisdom on us, and you were about to get started with that that success following what you do. And that's, I was just talking about this last night on Facebook. I said, if you don't really enjoy, you know, you should be enjoying your job 100%. If you enjoy you're not enjoying your job 100%, how can you give 100% into what you're doing? So anyway,
that's the point, because again, it's proven you can't do well at what you don't like to do. I mean, you know, in a family, you have people who, you know, cook and clean well. Other people take out the garbage well, and other people do other things as well. But the thing is that what you have to sort of find your position. I know when I was in school, they talked about being well-rounded, and I do believe in that. But we sort of take that in the wrong way. We think that we have to spend so much time in things we don't like to do, or things that we're not talented at doing. I believe that education, and I think this is what we're talking about in your particular show, and we'll do something a little different today. I'm going to actually put you on the spot. You know, I'm going to, after I go to this little introduction, I'm going to ask you some questions, and I want you to answer the questions, and I'm going to answer the questions too. Then the readers can answer the questions and sort of put everything into perspective. But the biggest thing with true education is the fact that I don't think education is real unless it helps us to develop our mind, our body, and our spirit. Because that's the sum total of us. That's the essence of us. We are all mind, body, and spirit. And when we look at those things, we have to do things that help us develop that. And one of the things I want to do before I get into my topic, I just want to have those who have their pens ready. I'm going to give you a list of authors. I mean, this is what I call the motivational honor roll. These are authors, if you're serious about self-development, if you're serious about self-knowledge, if you're serious about taking your passion to the next level, you have to read these authors. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You can't make any excuses. If you really are what you say you're about, this is where you have to go. And these people, and what I would suggest that you do, again, I say that success is a matter of habit. The things that you do every day are going to make you successful or unsuccessful. And I always say that basically you need to develop the habit of literacy. And what I mean by that, every day you got to read, write, talk, listen, and view. And if you do these things, read, write, talk, listen, and view, it'll make yourself a better person and a more passionate person. But you have to know who to read. I mean, you can read a whole lot of things, but if they're not the right things, it's like wasting your time. It's like exercising. If you're doing the kind of wrong kind of exercises, it's not going to help you lose weight. So, again, this is the motivational honor roll, as I call it. These are the people who will help you get to the next level. And I'm now in no particular order. I'm just going to throw these names out, and I want you to write these down. And I want you, but I want you to take a step further, because today is all about application. After I finish what I have to say, I'm going to go to Lisa. I'm going to ask Lisa 5 questions. And she's going to answer these 5 questions, and I'm going to answer these 5 questions. And you at home, you can call in and maybe just share one of these 5 questions or whatever. But I want this to be more interactive. I want to help you understand that it's not just about listening. Okay, we listen and we learn, but we apply by doing. So this is the honor roll. These are the people that you need to be reading. Tony Robbins, Zig Ziglar, Brian Tracy, Jim Rohn, Napoleon Hill, Les Brown, Robert Allen, Wayne Dyer, Martin Victor Hansen, and Jack Canfield. Again, Tony Robbins, Zig Ziglar, Brian Tracy, Jim Rohn, Napoleon Hill, Les Brown, Robert Allen, Wayne Dyer, Mark Victor Hansen, and Jack Canfield. This is what I call my motivational teacher honor roll. These are the people that you have to read. I mean, you have to read these people because these are the people who are the leaders in their field. I don't know about you, Lisa, but if I study something, I want to go to the best. I want to study with the best. Anybody else, as far as I'm concerned, is really not going to help me. When I started my public speaking business, when I started taking public speaking seriously and going out and hiring myself out and for a certain fee and whatnot, I went to the best. I was reading a lot of motivational speakers, which I call motivational teachers, and they kept on mentioning one man over and over and over again who was their mentor, was their teacher, from Les Brown to Jack Canfield to Tony Robbins. They said, this is the man. This is the man who you need to read. And so that man, his name is Jim Rohn. And so I began to read Jim Rohn and get his tapes and everything because he was the one who taught all these speakers. And it was Jim Rohn then who said, and I quote, give whatever you are doing and whoever you are with the gift of your attention. Jim Rohn said, give whatever you are doing, whatever you are, give whatever you are doing and whoever you are with the gift of your attention. This is Jim Rohn. I think sometimes we hurt ourselves by this multitasking, trying to do 4 or 5 things at the same time. Sometimes we need to take one thing and focus on that thing. That's why today the program is entitled, What Do You Really, 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 Really Want? It's not too late. And when I say, and I say really 4 times, because you say, I really want that, that's too casual. I really, really want it. That's a little bit better. I really, really, really want it. That's even better. But really, 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 really want it. That's 4 times that you said this thing to yourself. And then again, it's not too late. Whatever you want to do, it can be done. But you have to understand that you have to get serious about it and you have to focus. And so what I want to do, Lisa, I just want to give you 5 questions. I want you to answer these questions, and then I'm going to answer these questions myself and open up to the audience. But this is the question. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Question number 1, and a lot of times when I give seminars, these are questions that I start with because we're going to go through this program today, and we're going to talk about these 5 questions. I call these 5 questions that change everything. When you ask these questions, you answer these questions seriously, you can look at your whole life, and then we want to go from there. We want to go to what drives you. What are the things that drive you? What are the things that make you go after what you want, you know? And then I'm going to talk about the 10,000 hours. I said 10,000 hours of training in any field would make you professional in that level. And also I want to talk about the power of network and influence. And then I want to end today talking about what I call a future flash. I'm projecting the future. I'm saying to you, really, if you really want to, because I'm the type of person that I think like 10, I used to take, I think 10 years ahead of myself. So although I'm here at 61, I'm really thinking about what I'll be doing when I'm 71. So again, I'm future directed, and I'm saying to everybody that the future of us, the future of our business is the family model. One of the things, even ahead of myself, but I'll come back, is the fact that Tony Bennett and Patti LaBelle, they have many things in common. As a matter of fact, they are two people who are on the top of their game. Tony Bennett is in his 80s. Pat LaBelle is 67, which I like to say sexy at 67. But the thing that they have in common, and the thing we're going to get to a little later on, is the fact that they are both managed by their children. Tony Bennett's son and also Pat LaBelle's son manage their careers. And so what happens is that it makes the family a lot more focused. I even in my house, I ask my wife and my daughters what they like to do. They tell me interest in daycare. They tell me their interest in flea markets, their interest in different things. I said, look, let's make it the family business. Let's make that the situation where we all are engaged in that. So, again, family business, I think, is the business model of the future. But now to the questions, okay? Question number one, Lisa and audience. And, again, just a brief thing, no long-drawn thing. The question is, Lisa, what is your passion? Question number one, what is your passion?
My passion is to empower women to transform their lives from one state to a much better state.
So that's great. That's great. Now, see, my passion is reading and writing. I love to read and I love to write. And the thing is that I would do that no matter whether I got paid or not. So the first question for
yes.
us and the audience is, number one, what is your passion? Because I think that when you find your passion, I think you find your life's purpose. Okay?
Yeah.
Number two, what makes you happy, Lisa? What makes you happy?
What makes me happy? Wow, that's a good one. What makes me happy is when I see the same women. Doesn't have to be women. It could be men. It could be boys. When I see someone coming out of their state of of hopelessness,
that's
and
great.
Listen, I'm ready to go on a cruise when I see that happen. Like, I've been on a cruise. That's me.
Right.
Enjoy.
And so, again, what makes you happy? For me, what makes me happy, Lisa, is I love quiet time. I mean, I love the time, like, I love the summer, because in the summer I can in my house, I have a big porch. I mean, I search in high and low for a house that had a porch. In Jersey, we don't have a lot of porches, but I wanted a real porch. So I have my little setup out there. I have my little table and I have a couple of chairs. I also have other things for different conversations, but I like to sit out on the porch and with my little laptop, and I plug in my satellite radio, and I'm at peace. And sometimes I get there some early in the morning, even before the sun comes up, and I'm sitting there and I'm listening to some music, or I may be doing some writing on my laptop, and I see the sun come up, and I love that. That's for me. That makes me very, very happy, because I know another day is coming and I have a lot of things I can do. So question number one is, what is your passion? Question number two, what makes you happy? And I think that the passion
and
happiness go together. Yeah.
That just before you go on, see, with my what makes me happy is when I'm operating in my purpose.
Yes, yes.
And that's
yeah.
my purpose. God created me to transform lives. So that's why I just want to make sure that's clear to people. That's what makes me happy, is
yes.
operating my purpose. To me, there's
Lisa,
no greater choice.
Right.
Go ahead.
So did you find out when you're operating in your purpose and you're operating your passion that you don't get tired?
Oh, I have no. I get tired, but then my energy is quickly refueled.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's very toiling on the body. You know, even Jesus felt his virtue come out of him.
Of course,
but you see, God quickly restores that virtue and that energy. I get so energized. I can get energized just by sitting and watching the 5 heartbeats.
Of course. Yeah. And the thing, that's why I say viewing is so important, because, again, if you look at yourself, look at the film that you like to see over and over and over again. You talk about the 5 heartbeats, okay? That's definitely on the classic list. My favorite is Love and Basketball. I can watch that movie every day, because every day I watch it, I get something new out of it, you know?
That's my second favorite.
Right, because I think this generation, more so than our generation and maybe generation before, we are very visual learners. We learn by watching, you know. I think when we talk about passion and happiness, we're getting close to finding what drives us. You know, you got to know what drives you. What is the thing that makes you do what you want to do? So these questions are leading to that, okay? So, again, number one, what is your passion? Number two, what makes you happy? And number three, Lisa, what does success look like to you? What does it look like? How would you describe your success? What does it look like to Lisa?
Success to me is digging deep into my innermost desire.
Wow.
And living that, you
oh
know.
My goodness.
I mean, no holes barred, no money to stop me, no limitations.
Yeah.
Just digging into my most deepest desire. So, in order to do that, I have to meditate.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I have to fast. So I have to get that quiet time with God, so I can really hear and say, you know, I have to go deep and get that deepest desire, and
right.
then bring that forth. That's it for me. That's success for me. Because I've learned, you know, that from that all else will come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you know, as you didn't talk about money, you didn't say success means money. Success means fancy clothes. Success means great trips. You know, you didn't mention that, but that comes as a byproduct of your
exactly.
journey.
You can't chase money. You got to trace. You got to. Can't chase money. You got to chase your passion, and then the money will come. You know, someone told me years ago, do what you love, and the money will come. Candy Dickerson, she passed away, but I never forgot that. I learned that from her. She may have gotten it from Brian Tracy or Zig Ziglar. But powerful.
Tony Robbins, whatever. Yeah. But the thing is that you have to just look at it. You know, I'm sorry, you're saying.
You got to do it. Do what you love. I just believe that. And ever since then, and I met her in 1997.
Wow.
And ever since, my mantra, do what you love and the money will come. I tell that to some people and they laugh. They like, you've got to be crazy. But what? It's working for me because I'm doing the very thing I love. And guess what? The money is flowing in.
Oh, yeah. And it has to. It has to because, again, I remember Dennis Kimbrell. I remember when you had him come to Essex County College, and I never forget that speech, you know. And he said, you know, people don't pay for mediocrity. They don't pay for just all right. They pay for the best. And they don't mind paying for the best. That's why five-star hotels are
That's
so
right.
popular. We want the That's best right. service that we possibly can get, and we don't mind paying for it because
That's
we
right.
see the value.
Look at the Mercedes.
Mercedes.
BMW, sure.
Yeah,
we pay for quality. The Mont Blanc pen, the Rolex watch, sure. People will pay for the best. You're right.
Yeah, but you don't mind doing that because you know that the value that you're paying for, you'll get twice as much. I know when I go to speak, I try to give not just the value they pay for, but the value beyond what they pay for. And so for me, what does success look like to me? Well, success looks like to me, it looks like me doing the thing that I've always wanted to do when I was 9 years old. When I was 9 years old, I told my mother I wanted to be a writer. And success for me is when I was not just publishing books, but going into stores and doing book signings and seeing my books on the shelves and seeing my books in the libraries. I remember one time when my first novel came out, and we had about five distributors, so the book was all over the place. And I was in New York City, in Manhattan. I walked to this bookstore, and I saw my book on the shelf. And I was talking to the bookseller. I said, how's this book going? He said, it's going pretty good. He was trying to sell me the book. I said, well, I have that book, but I thank you. But it made me laugh because, again, success for me was to have that, was to do that. And so I had that success. And for me, it was, like you said before, Lisa, I think you visualize your success before it even happens. You see it. And for me, a lot of times when I'm writing a book, it's almost anticlimactic because you know what? When you start writing the book, it's already written in your head. You just had to bring it out. And that's why what I do with my books is I ask Tobias, who's my business partner, to actually, you know, let's produce the cover first. Produce the cover. And I put that cover on another book because when I'm working on a book and looking at the cover, it's really, I mean, as it says, I mean, it's already done. You know, and
I know
success
that's
for
right.
me. When I can see the things that I had in my head, when I can see it in reality, and that is success for me.
Wow.
You
wow.
know, you have to see it. And then now question number four. How will you know you achieved your success. How do you know, Lisa? How do you know that? I mean, because, you know, you want to do a lot and you have done a lot, but, you know, how do you know? Because sometimes people don't know and they keep on pushing and pushing and they go right past the success into frustration. But you have to know how will you know that you achieve your success? That's the question. How will you know that you achieve your success?
Yeah, for me, it's an inner peace, it's an inner fulfillment.
Yes, I love that. I love that.
So I also believe that it's not about how far you go in life, but it's about how far you come.
Yes.
So I have this nice little tracking system that I developed called the Personal Success Model.
I love
and
that. That's great.
That I actually developed, and I will be launching it more and more in the year 2012. Because I didn't even realize I had, you know, developed something that actually is anything. But the fact is that I'm the ghetto girl from Cincinnati, Ohio, that has developed a model thing, and I'm going to put it forth. But so for me, that's success, because I also don't believe that it's a destination, but it is a journey. So I'm some success as long as I continue to go higher and higher, and then I don't go back.
Oh, that's beautiful. Like I told you, when I was growing up at 9 years old, I knew I wanted to be a writer, but I find that, you know, I know that I achieved my success because I'm getting paid for things that I never really thought that I would be doing. So, for example, the teaching. I mean, every time I go to teach a class, I'm amazed. I'm amazed. I'm blessed. I realize it's my calling because when I was in school, Lisa, I wasn't very popular among the teachers. They weren't popular with me, I mean, because I would always get in trouble. They would send notes home saying, you know, Cherry does not live up to his full potential. Cherry talks too much. And, you know, I was like, you're getting in trouble. And Lisa, and this is what I believe. You know, I didn't want to be a teacher. You know why I didn't want to be a teacher? Because I thought that teachers lived at the school. I thought they lived at the school. Because, I mean, you know, you don't see them outside, right? You don't see them at the mall. You don't see them in the neighborhood. So I figured, you know, I could never be a teacher, you know, because they just went out of my league. And then most of them were white, and they were white males, and I wasn't that. And I didn't really think about it seriously, so I saw black teachers. But the point was that I got involved in this quite by accident. Somebody asked me to teach one course led to another course, and here I am. But I knew I could achieve a measure of success when people were trying to seek me out. So I got to take Professor Benjamin's course, and the word was spreading, and my courses were filling up so quickly, and students would come and say, look, can I get an extra seat in that course? And I really loved the teaching because it's not anything that I really thought about. But like you said, once you develop yourself, people come out of the woodwork to do things with you. And I think that's success when people want to come along with you on your journey, because it's lonely at the top, but it's only lonely because we don't know there are other people there, like-minded people. So, again, success for me, I know I achieved my success when success when people were coming to me and asking me to do something.
All right. All right, now. Honey, but wait a minute. Hold on. That's funny. I thought the reason why I never aspired to be a teacher growing up, I thought the teachers had to be really smart. And I knew that I wasn't smart at all. So I knew there because I was fortunate enough that I went in the seventh grade. I went to a predominantly all black school in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Wow.
And
wow.
I went to a HBCS, all historically, that they eventually tore down. But I went to Ock Junior High School, for those of you who are from the Cincinnati, Ohio area.
Yeah.
And the school I'm talking about. And I had dreams of going to Hughes, which would have been the high school. I was at the junior high, seventh and eighth grade. But so I thought teachers were very smart, and I just knew that I had been told all my life that I was a dummy. So I knew that teaching was not for me. So to be teaching at Estes County College, and sometimes I kept questioning God, why do you have me teaching in the business department as opposed to just maybe a personal development class, something that's fun and easy for me, because God said, I'm showing you that I'm putting you above where you think you can be, because it's not you. It's the power within you, the power that I put in you, that allows you to teach in a business department. But, yes, go ahead with your question.
And that's great what you said, because, again, I think that we have to go beyond what we think are our limitations. And, again, I said what we think are our limitations, because you never know. I mean, I'm a type of person, and you're the same way, that, you know, once I'm given a challenge, I mean, I rise to that occasion, and the same thing with our students. If you tell students, you know what, I know everybody here. I tell students the first day of class here, everybody, as far as I'm concerned, is an A student. Okay, you all have A's. Now, the thing is to hold on to the A. Now, you hold on to it by doing the things that I tell you to do, doing the work, or following the syllabus, coming to class, participating in class. That's how you maintain your A. Now, you do less than that, it's going to drop. But you, as far as I'm concerned, you have the potential to be an A student, but will you rely on that potential? That's what it comes down to, because I don't see anybody in here is impaired in any way. I see some healthy young people, and I don't see a reason why you can't get an A, but it's up to you. You know, if you don't come to class, it's kind of hard to get that A. But if you do the things I tell you to do, you will achieve that academic success. Okay?
Yes.
And the last one, number five is, Lisa, what will you do after you have achieved your success? Okay? Because again, you're pushing for things, you can get those things, but you know what? Now you got it. But then
now I got it. Now what? Well, now what I do is now I go out and duplicate that for other people.
Well, beautiful, beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Now that I've got it, I have a blueprint,
yes,
basically,
yes,
for success, so to speak. And so now, again, going back to my original passion is to bring it out in others. That is like my ultimate, passion. I'm just not. It's beyond being a purpose. I'm passionate about it. And,
of course,
you know,
I love
anybody,
that.
They will see that I'm passionate about bringing it out. And so my passion takes me to places that I could have never gotten on my own, but that's what I want to do next. Is now I'm looking for someone that I can bring that out, so much so that I'm a school in January.
Wow.
Where I'm looking for people who don't feel they can make it. They're unemployed. They're underemployed. They're getting out of off welfare, and they don't see how they can become a success in life. I want the same person who I was, the person who thought, I'm not smart. I don't have any gifts or talents. I believe there's a bunch of those people out there, and I'm opening up a training program in Union County. So you're in Union County. So anybody you know that fits that bill, I don't want those who think they already got it. That's for someone else to train and help. I want those who they have it, because I want to be there when it's birthed in them. I can't wait. So we're going to start.
Great.
We're going to open with a retreat, so we're going to take them on a day-and-a-half retreat at the hotel in Newark on January. Yes, so I'll be getting the flyers to you and others, but that's it for me, Terry.
Yeah. Well, give me that flyer, because I'd definitely like to be there, you know, because I think that what we're doing in this radio program is definitely part of all that, you know, and I definitely want to do that. Now, before I ask the question number five for myself, I just want to share a quotation. And this is from Ralph Waldo Emerson, again, he's an American essayist and also a poet. And Ralph Waldo Emerson said something that we've been saying all through the program this morning, and it's about enthusiasm. And he said enthusiasm. He said enthusiasm is one of the most powerful engines of success. Enthusiasm is one of the most powerful engines of success. When you do a thing, do it with all your might. Put your whole soul into it. Stamp it with your own personality, be active, be energetic, be enthusiastic and faithful, and you will accomplish your object. Nothing great was ever achieved without enthusiasm. I want to repeat that. Nothing great was ever achieved without enthusiasm. When you see Jay-Z rapping, you know, or you see his wife Beyonce singing, I mean, enthusiasm that they bring to their work, man. They have people standing on their feet and clapping and applauding and dancing. And again, I want to do that in the academic field with people. When I walk into the room, they're happy to see me because they know that we're going to grow together. And so for me, question number five, what will you do after you reach your success? Well, it's very simple. I mean, it's about giving back. When we started the publishing company in 2003, again, like I said, for almost 2 years, we didn't publish anything. We just studied the marketplace. And so we published two novels that I've written, and we published a book of short stories. But now what we're doing is publishing other people. We published Jackie White, who was on your program, and we also published Jennifer Luckett. But we're going to publish some more authors in 2012. And for me, now that I've achieved my success, I want to, like you, Lisa, I want other people to be successful. I want them, I'm looking for other writers that I can publish, that I can promote. As much as I would promote myself, I think what happens with the enthusiasm, I think one of the signs of maturity, and like I said, and this is going back to 60 or 60 philosophy, when you get to a certain age, you know you're successful when you are applauding other people's success, when you're not jealous of somebody else's success, when you're not a hater. If somebody is doing well, you say, well, go ahead, brother, go ahead, sister, now you do your thing. I'm proud of you. I'm not hating on you. I'm not saying, who does she think she is? Or do you think he's cute and whatnot? No, no. Maturity is being happy for someone else's success and being real about that. People who are really successful, they're not afraid of other successful people. As a matter of fact, that's who they want to be around. They want to be around those people because that's where they get the energy, by being around successful people. When you and I get together, even if it's just on the radio, my enthusiasm is up. My passion is up, because I'm speaking with someone who knows what I'm thinking about. Most times, people are not successful because they're around people with such low energy that you're going to either rise to somebody's energy or you're going to come down to somebody's energy. Most of us come down to someone's energy, that low energy. But if the energy is high, you rise to that occasion. That's why I love seminars. That's why when I teach, I tell my students every day, as far as I'm concerned, is a seminar. Every day is a special day. Sometimes when some professors teach, sometimes it's exciting, sometimes it's boring. But I'm the type of person that every time I go into the classroom, I want excitement. I don't want to be boring because, again, I don't want to be bored. So the thing is that I bring a high level of enthusiasm and passion and energy, okay? Sometimes that's what's lacking is energy, because I know how my days are. I start my day at 5 o'clock, and I don't usually end until 11 o'clock at night. That's a long day. And the thing is that the only way I can get through is because I realize that I have to take care of myself. We go back to the whole thing about mind, body, and spirit. Again, body. Breakfast, okay, break that fast. We need that fuel. We need to eat right. We need to have the energy from the food to help us go with. Mind, read something, see something, listen to something, talk about something that's going to develop your mind. And then the last thing is spirit. When I say spirit, I think a lot of things that we do, I know when I'm writing, I don't even think about the conscious mind. I go back to my subconscious because that's where the good stuff is. That's where the stuff that I can't name, I can't see, but I know that's the stuff that is fueling me. And so, again, going back to the five questions, what is your passion? What makes you happy? What does success look like to you? How will you know you achieve success? And the last one, what will you do after you receive your success? Because one of the things, Lisa, that you know as well as I do, we have goals, and you know what? We have been lucky enough to reach those goals, but you know what? We have to have other goals because there's going to be other mountains to climb because Dr. Martin Luther King once said, but it's true. Dr. King said, most men die at 21. We just don't bury them until they're 60 or 70. And that's sad. That's sad. It's like, you're dead, but you haven't had enough sense to fall down. But you're dead because you killed your dreams, you killed your spirit, you killed your passion, you killed your enthusiasm by your negative thinking. In the Christian community, they call it stinking thinking. And it's so sad, and I do it myself. But I've learned to let that go because sometimes when in our solitude, the first thought that comes to us is negative. You think about the time when you failed something. You think about the time when you lost a job, when you lost a marriage, when you lost a person that you love. We go right to negative. Sometimes we get a call in the middle of the night. The first thing we think that is going to be something terrible. Why is that? Why can't it be something beautiful? We could have called down to the office. Oh, man, I know I did wrong. I messed up. One of my mentors, when I was in graduate school, Dr. Robinson, she said that she got her research paper back when she was an undergraduate student. And one thing I don't do, I never mark a student's paper in red. I think that's wrong. I think red is not a good color. I do it in the black or pen because red is like you're cutting somebody up and you're like, just the blood is flowing. And she said she got this paper and she looked at all these red marks and she didn't read the paper. She just put the paper away. And she ran to the teacher a couple of days later. He said, how did you read the paper? She said, no, I didn't because I saw those red marks and I felt like I did. Then she said, no, read the paper. So she went back and she read the paper and it was an A. As a matter of fact, it was an A plus. But she thought, she assumed, because she saw those red marks, that it was going to be negative. But that wasn't the case. Sometimes we are defeated before you even start. Oh, I can't do that. And like Napoleon Hill said, you know, if you say you can do it, or you say that you can't do it, you are right. Okay?
Right. Mind, huh? Yeah, either way, you're right, right?
Exactly. You know, I mean, even a broke clock is right two times in the day.
Wow.
Because it's 5 o'clock in the morning and it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and the clock hasn't moved, but, hey, it's right twice a day. But I think sometimes, see, that's why I really believe we need to read more biographies of successful people, you know, because we have to understand that they were not, you know, you may be laughing, Talisa, when you said that you didn't think that you were that smart, and I think most of us who are overachievers, that's the thing I know for myself. One of my biggest insecurities was being founded as a fraud. You know, he's not as smart as you think he is, and that's why I'm always reading. I'm always reading because I don't want to be caught out there. You know, I mean, I know I can't be right about everything, but I know that I got to have more, you know, going for me because I'm putting myself in situations where people are going to ask different questions. But I'm wise enough to know that, you know, if I don't know the answer, I will say this. I will get back to you. Okay, I will find out what it is. But I know a lot of times we're tested, and sometimes I know when we're in this kind of forum, and I have some set things I want to say, but most of the things I love about this program is the fact that some of the things that I say are not things that I rehearse, they're spontaneous, they're coming out of our conversation. But the thing is, the beautiful thing about it is that when those things come out, I have to look at them too, and I'm surprised at myself because a lot of times we don't know what we have inside unless we are tested. And the only way we're tested is to move forward in our passion and our enthusiasm, and not be afraid to fail. You know, in the science world, a mistake is called an experiment. Okay, he might have done 10,000 experiments to find a cure for cancer, but that's okay because they're experiments. So I might have done a lot of things and that I failed, but you know what? They're experiments. I will never do those things again. But, you know, I think we live and we learn, and I tell my kids all the time, if you don't make mistakes, you're not living. Okay, the only person that doesn't make a mistake is the person that does nothing. But that's a very boring life. You don't do anything, and you play safe. That's like, you know, somebody, you know, sort of trying to just, you know, like Bob Proctor says, you know, there are many people who live life just hoping that they get out of life. They're living to die, really. Okay, they're not living to live, they're living to die, because they figure if I hang around long enough, I'm going to be dead, so hey, what does it mean? But that's not life. That's not living a life.
That's just waiting to die, wow.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to do that, for sure.
You know, I mean, I'm like Wayne Dyer, because I love what he says. You know, he said, you know, if you die, make sure that all the music is out of you. Make sure that you live your life to the fullest. Make sure that when you're gone, it's because you just depleted yourself. Everything that you had, you've given, and you die empty. You know, you dance your dance, you sung your song, you've been mentored, you loved and you lived. You had people around you who loved you. You had people around you that you loved. You know, you had some great experiences. And you lived a life. You lived a full life. You didn't limit yourself by your circumstances. You know, I started out poor. You know, and that's why a lot of times when I go to take a shower in the morning, I'm that's a blessing to me because I know when I didn't have that. I know when I was living in a cold water flat, we had to actually heat the water to take a bath because we didn't have a bathtub. So I remember washing in this tub. You know, and the choir is kept. It wasn't that long ago. You know, because to tell the truth, I didn't really have a shower until I went away to college. And then I messed up with that because I didn't know where to put the shower curtain inside the shower, outside the shower, and I kept getting water on the floor. And my roommate was angry at me, but he thought I was trying to be a wise guy. But it wasn't, but I didn't know. And then what happened is that, I found out, and I learned, and I became a little more sophisticated. But you know what? That wasn't my background. And the thing is, you know, but that's where I started, but that's not where I ended up. And we got to realize that, you know, just because you start at one place, you don't have to stay in that place. It's like some people, like I said, I laugh myself and said, you know what? I pity the person that was born in North, lived in North, and died in North, and never went outside of that little area. You know, and they try to tell themselves, you know, I'm content. I'm good. This is all that I aspire to. You know, and again, I think aspirations is about possibilities. And the more possibilities you see for yourself, the more you want to reach out and touch those possibilities, because it really feels good when you achieve a measure of success where you can say, you know what, I've done what I said I would do. I am one of the top persons in my field, you know, and that's what you strive for, whatever it is. You know, a lot of people, you know, we have this program, and I've been blessed because people have Facebook me, and I've talked to some people that listen to this show. You know, we haven't heard them on the radio, but I know they listen to this show, and it's a good feeling because you know what? People are really plugging into what we're talking about, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
You know, when you operate, boy, what is you that you're really, 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 really? What are you really? Do you know what you really, really, really want? Here's the thing, you know, what I learned is working with people and some of the clients that I've been working with, you know what, it pay if you don't really know, because it's never, I think it was, what's his name, Elliot, can't think of his first name, Elliot, who said, you know, it's never too late to be what you should have been.
Yeah. Okay. It's never too late, never.
Late. So even if you didn't know before, it's okay. And that's why, you know, sometimes I wonder, I'm like, okay, I'm 55. I said, God, why are you using me now? Because I believe he wants other people to know. See, you know, he knows that there are some people who, if they was to work with a bunch of people, like say if they're in their 50s, or near 50s, and if they had to work with a bunch of 20-year-olds, they may feel some type of way.
Yes.
Like, doing that because they're so young.
They're doing that
because everything is for the young. Things are designed for the young.
Right.
But, you know, God wants some people who are just now waking up, just now coming into understanding what it is they want to do. And he wants to know, and those people need to see people our age still moving and grooving, you know.
Because again, because in this culture, we're taught, we're socialized, we're brainwashed to think that at a certain age you begin to decline, and that's why the whole thing with the sexy at 60, that whole concept came to me like 5 years ago before I was even near 60. But the thing is, I realized for myself is that I'm getting better and better, and I have more now this year than ever before, and I'm not going to allow you to push me to the back. So a lot of times we go, like, very humbly into the dark night when we don't have to, because, again, it's not what you say. It's what I know.
And here's the thing. I remember when you brought this topic to me 5 years ago down there in Yeshiva.
You said
to me, Lalisa, is a topic you need to jump on, and I didn't. But here's the thing. I have some people, young people, around me. I know for a fact they're not doing an inkling of what I'm doing. And
no,
I look at them, and they look. I say, you know what, that's a shame. You are the young. You have the energy. You have all the things in society designed to push you to great, great, great levels, and you won't even do it. So, therefore, I'm doing it for them and me.
Well, that's the point, and I think the whole thing, because, I mean, I think with the sexy at 60 concept, I'm looking for role models. I'm looking for mentors for young people. I'm looking for mentors for myself, because the thing is that when I say sexy at 60, I mean, it's the thing where, you see, we don't let people determine what we can do or what we can't do. I think that's the problem, you know. And what drives us, you know, we talk about the five questions, but drivers, I mean, what is your driver? And what drives you? And there are four things that I want to fill out before we end up the program.
Okay.
These are the things that drive people, okay? Again, if you look at your list of five things, you're going to find out these are four things of what drives you and drives me. Number one, independence, okay? We want independence. One of the things that I'm striving for is financial independence, where my mortgage is paid, where I have money to take care of my family and my friends, who I consider my extended family. Independence, where I don't have to work a 9-to-5 or work at a job that I don't want to work at, because I have independence, and that's one of the things that drive me. Number two is wealth. And when I say wealth, I'm talking about true abundance. I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about health. I'm talking about expectation. I'm talking about love, being around the people I love, the people around that I love me. That drives me, okay? Number three, recognition and fame. And not so much the fame, but the recognition. Understand that we have ideas that are worldwide. The whole thing of sexy as sexy, this is not a local thing. This is not just a North thing or a New York thing. This is a worldwide thing, because there are people around the world who are sexy at 60. When I say sexy at 60, these people have found their peace. They have found their passion. They have found their attitude. They found their energy. They found their creativity. You know, they found all the things that they found their excellence. They found their peace. And number four is contribution. And what I mean by that is giving back. Okay, because
yes,
you can't be happy unless you give back. And Jim Rohn said you can't be happy if you're not productive. To give back is to be in a situation where, I mean, my students test me, and I like that. They test me each and every day, and that helps me because it keeps me sharp. But again, what drives you? Is it independence? Is it wealth? Is it recognition and fame? Is it contribution? What is the thing that drives you? What is the thing that makes you get up in the morning? And for me, the biggest thing for me is independence. So I can say what I want to say. There's nobody making me. I mean, I don't have, like, I'm not a TV show. I don't have sponsors. If you have a TV show, you have sponsors, you can't say certain things because the sponsors won't like it. I'm very independent. I say what I want to say. I speak for my truth. I speak for my passion. I speak for my spirit. You may not agree with me, but that's fine. But I know one thing: if you live long enough, I mean, you can tell me a lot of things at this point. You can tell me a lot of things, but you can't tell me what it means to be 61 and be a black male in America at age 61. You can't tell me anything about that, because I know about that because I live that each and every day. But again, what drives you? What makes you want to give up? And this one last thing, Russell Simmons, in a film called The Hip Hop Laws of Success, he talks about, you know, things that drive people, and he talks about the things that make people successful. And he says there's five things. The first thing is faith in what you do. Number two is meditation. You can't really develop yourself unless you go into your solitude, unless you go in that secret room and you really look at yourself. Number three is prayer. Prayer. I mean, he's a Buddhist, so he prays to Buddha. You know, you're a Christian, you pray to God. If you're Muslim, you pray to Allah. But whoever you pray to is that higher power. And number four is hard work. These rappers, I mean, people, I remember when I had a program entitled Come Correct Rap Music and Literature, people saying, why would an intelligent young man like you be involved in rap music? I mean, you're a college professor. I said, well, you know what? At the heart of rap music is entrepreneurship. These rappers are entrepreneurs. They're poets, they're writers, okay? They're taking something from nothing and making something of it, and it's worldwide. And the last thing you said, giving back, okay? Russell Simmons says, you gotta give back. People don't realize that at this point in his life, he's not even involved in the music business. He's involved in, he's a philanthropist, which means that he gives money away. That's where he's at right now. He's come to the music business, but that's not what he does now. He produces shows, but he gives back. And my whole thing is that the more you give, I believe the more you receive. It's as simple as that. I've helped people with no charge, you know, but it's come back to me because other people said, you know, I remember one time this one girl over Facebook, she was talking about a book that she was writing. So I told her, send me the copy of the book. She sent me the copy of the book, which she was getting ready to publish. And I read the book and I said, you know what, you can't send this out like this. I mean, you have too many misspellings, you have grammatical errors and whatnot. You can't send this out. And so what happens, I said, look, send me the whole book, okay? Send me the whole book. I will edit it for your charge, okay? I'll edit it. I'll send it back to you. Now, as a result of that, she has a new book out now, and I'm editing her new book. And now it is, we signed a contract, so I'm getting paid for this. But the first time was free of charge, and I wanted to help her. Now we're working together. I'm getting paid for it. I'm still going to do the same excellent job. But again, if I hadn't given something, I wouldn't be getting anything. Sometimes you give to get, But if you don't give, you can't get anything. I mean, it's a person who wants love but won't open up their arms, you know. If you want love, you got to be vulnerable, you know. If you want love, you got to be the person that you want to be about. I mean, don't say I want somebody who got together. You're not together. Don't say I want somebody who is independent. You're not independent. I want somebody who's wealthy. You're not wealthy. I want somebody who is about recognition and fame, and you're not about it. Or I want somebody who's about contribution. You're not about it. I mean, I think like goes with like. And the last thing about family business, you know, again, your family and friends are the people that you can trust. Get in the business with them. Grow together, strive together, and be successful together.
Good stuff, as always. So much.
Thank you.
Tell you again, every time we do this show, every time I think about, I just can't help but to think about how we met.
We've come a long way, baby. We've come a long way. Wow.
Myself now running to Union frantic because I need school before the school. I was time. A lot of paperwork to get done to enter college. Anybody who's ever gone, you know what I'm talking about. And to run into office down there at the Cranford campus of Union County College, run smack dab into this man sitting there. I'll never forget that picture in my mind. And I thought to myself, I am not going to be successful here. I said, this is a predominantly white college. I thought, and I was coming from Essex. At the time, Essex was predominantly black. You know, and there's no way I'm going to, and I was getting straight A's at Essex. Here I was faced with my high school memories.
Yes.
I went from Aiken High School where I was hanging on.
Mm-hmm.
My mother moved to Mount Healthy, where the school was 70% white. I totally did not fit in, and I just dropped out. Had I stayed in Aiken, I believe I would have graduated probably a year later, but I believe I would have, because, you know, when you're around things that are familiar, whatever.
Of course.
To Mount Healthy, and I just didn't fit in. I felt like a fish out of water. At that classroom, everything around me, and even the black people, they did act white. So I just really felt out of place.
Mm-hmm.
So when I came to Union in Cranford, I felt the same way. I said, I'm going to totally flunk out of this. I had 1 year of junior college under my belt, and I just really felt that was going to happen. But I thank God let me run into you. Made me feel that I could fit in. I believe if I had run into a white counselor, I'm just keeping it real, I believe I would have, I don't know, in my mind, I don't think I would have made it. I think I would have had such a negative mindset that I would have did it to myself. But meeting you and your spirit, your attitude, it births, you know, it sparked something in me that said.
That's great. That's so great.
And I go on to be, you know, Post Day Award graduate and
all the things,
you know,
that I saw in you, all the things I saw.
Phi Theta Kappa regional president.
Wow.
Come on.
Wow.
That blew me away. I said, I kept saying the whole time, God, you have joked.
Wow.
You know, wait. I kept saying that God, you got jokes. So, you know, ended up in the Star Ledger newspaper because.
Yes, I remember that, yeah.
And so, anyway, I know we're out of time, but Terry, you know. Boy, thank God for you. And here we are almost 20 years. That was 1991. So here we are 20 years.
Yeah.
20 years later.
Wow.
21.
Wow.
That was one. This is almost 2012. January. Lord, look how far he's brought us.
Yes,
I can't get over it. I just can't get over it.
And, you know, 2012 is going to be even better. You know, I think we just laid the foundation right here. You know?
Wow.
That's why, you know, persistence wins out, you know.
Well, the foundation was laid in 1991.
Yes,
when
ma'am.
I
yes.
Because you took all my fear away. You don't even know how afraid I was. I can't even articulate exactly how fearful I was. But you took it all away by being there. So I hope that they really took good care of you as a person because you really, you know, was a blessing to me.
Well, thank
and
you,
I'm
Sarah.
Sure others. Yeah, you are had such a calm spirit. You were knowledgeable. You got me through all that paperwork that was at the last minute out.
Oh yes, yeah.
You know, courses that needed to be waived, and oh man, I'll just never forget it. And I just thank God for you, and I just you're
well,
an awesome guy. You know, just God bless
well,
you. And
well, again, that was part of my giving back. You know, like I said, boy, it's never too late, man. Just find what you really, 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 really want, and go for
you
it.
You gave
go for it
back in a way. You gave back in a big way. Just know
thank
that.
You.
Just know that. And so when I go down that aisle with my PhD in
ooh,
training.
I got to be there for that. I got to see that.
Oh, you, I want to be there too.
Well, I'll be so happy for you.
You're going to be, I'm going to give a shout out. When they get ready to hand me my diploma. Well, my mom is not here. I can't say thank you, Mom. Thank you, Dad. They're not here. But I'm going to give Mr. Terry Benjamin stand up. Him and my husband. My husband was very instrumental as well in me.
I'm sure, I'm sure.
If it wasn't for my husband, I don't think I ever would have went back to college.
Wow.
That's a whole other story. I'll have to tell that story later. But it was meeting Drew Williams that was that's what encouraged me or sparked me to go back to college in the first place. Because I met him, and even though we met in a bar, he was smart, and I was like, oh, God, this guy is smart. I better get some education.
That's right. Hey, you know. Hit you ride with him, right?
You know. So anyway, all right, God bless everyone. Thanks for tuning in to the show. Have a blessed day. Go out, do those things. Read, write, review, and talk or listen?
Both.
Talk and listen.
Talk and
go
listen.
Back
and take
and listen
note.
To the archive. If you missed, and Terry, you have an awesome day, and we'll see you back here next Tuesday. Everyone else, show back up tomorrow, same time, same place. This has been the Coach Lalisa Show, and I've had a blast.
Me too. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks to all my guests. Put it.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach Lalisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach Lalisa Show could be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up because, in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach Lalisa J. Williams.